All right, so today we are starting a brand new series that I'm excited about because this is something that God's been working in me for the last year or so, something of importance that I believe that we need to talk about as Christians and believers. And this is soul care is what we're calling this series, soul care. And this is talking about our soul being healthy. And so during this series, we're going to talk about the health of our soul and why it's important. Now, not everybody quite understands what soul is. And so lots of times you'll mention soul and people might think of something like soul food. All right? Soul food. Anybody with me on that? Soul food. You know, you get some fried chicken and some mashed potatoes fried. You know, if you want to get some real soul food, get some hog jowl in there. You know what I'm saying? Anybody? Okay. Some chitlins, some fatbacks. You know, hey, I'm hungry, let me tell you. So we're going to hurry this up so we can go eat now. Anyway, so soul food. You might think of soulmates. You know, there's this, the concept of that everybody has this one person that's perfect for them, that was created just for them, and soulmates. What about Soul Train? Any Soul Train out there? See, I didn't realize how long Soul Train was on the air. In fact, it was on the air for 35 years, all the way until 2006. It was on the air, and so that's pretty impressive. But, you know, you can talk about some soul music. Anybody like soul music out there? A little Marvin Gaye, a little Otis Redding, Aretha Franklin. You know, we can talk some Motown. We can talk some stuff. But anyway, we're talking about the soul. And there's lots of images that come up to people when it comes to soul. But, you know, you can kind of even lean religious and you hear people that say that Jesus saved my soul. And a lot of people don't quite understand what the soul actually is. And so today, we want to dive into the Bible and talk about what is the soul and why is it important that we take care of our soul? Because I believe this is vital to every Christian that we do this. And so let's dive into this. What is the soul? We look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. This is kind of the soul scripture that we kind of talk about to jump off in the subject. But 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it says, May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here we see this, talking to the church at Thessalonica, talking about the breakup of who we are as people, the spirit, the soul, and the body. And this goes all the way back to the beginning, when God created us. Because the way I like to explain it, and the way I've always heard it, is that we are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. See, when the world looks at us, they just see body, don't they? You know, we look at people, we see their body, and we say, that is this person. And we refer to the body. But it goes so much deeper than just we are a body, because one day this body is going to die. And there's people that believe that we'll cease to exist at that point. But as Christians, we don't believe that. We believe that our spirit and our soul will live on outside of our body. And so the body is not me. This is not me right here. This is just where I get to live for right now. One day I'll get a glorified body in heaven. And so the body is you know, just that physical part of us. And so the spirit that it talks about here, this is the part of us that connects with God. This is our connection with God, because, you know, we see this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we, a lot of us know this scripture. We can quote this. It says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. What happens when you give your life to Christ, you get saved, so to say, you take that moment to where you say, okay, God, I can't do this on my own. I'm a sinner, I'm broken, and I can't live like this. God, I give you my life. I give you everything. I put you in control of my life. And I come be my Lord, come be my Savior. And what happens in that moment is that something, a part of you comes alive, as it describes in the scripture. You become a new person. And it's that spirit of you that becomes alive in that moment, because all of a sudden you have a connection with God that you've never had. And so that spirit man of you just comes alive and it begins to be a changing force in your life. And so that leaves the soul. So what is the soul? it's really hard to describe, really, because when you look at a person, you see their body, and you know, as Christians, we know that spiritually we're connected with God now, and so the soul is kind of everything else about you. You know, it's kind of described as the deepest level of life. It's your central processing unit for all you geeks out there like me. This is the part of you that runs everything in your life. This is your thought patterns. This is your decision making. This is your emotional capacities. This is your conscience. Your personality lives in this part. The habits that we build are in this part of us. The determination, drive, our passions, our appetites, all of this stuff is found in our soul. And so it's kind of that, all the intangibles of a person. And so, like, you know, lots of times when you are looking to date, first you look at the physical body. And there's a lot of people, that's as far as they go, is they just find someone who's pretty and they want to marry them because they're pretty. And, you know, I mean, that's, you know, you want to be attracted to your spouse, absolutely. But that's not the part of the person that gets on your nerves sometimes. That's not the part of the person that you fall in love with. It's the soul. Is that the part that we connect with each other with? And so all of this stuff makes the soul. It's the part of us that makes us individual. It's what makes us who we are. And the beautiful thing is that God didn't create any of us to be the same. Each soul he made unique. And so I want to encourage you today, let your soul shine. Be you. Be who God made you to be. Let your personality come out. You know, let God build up your character and be who God made you to be. And so this word, as we look it up in the original language, is the word psuche. You didn't know I could speak Greek, did you? Psuche. It means the seat of affection and will. It's the self. It's the human person. It's the individual. And I love this definition. It's the breath of life. See, the soul is what gives our body life. Because without a soul, then we're just nothing. We're just a body. We see this all the way back in Genesis chapter 2. You know, when God was creating and forming man, in verse 7, it says this. It says that the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. Said, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. See, there was a body there that he formed out of the dust, but it wasn't until he breathed the breath of life into man to where he came alive. And this is where our soul and our spirit were born, right there. It comes from God. And I believe that each person that has ever lived, God breathed that life into them and he gave them their soul. And so, why are all these things important? Why are we talking about soul health? Well, see, soul health has to do with our mental health. It has to do with our emotional health. It has to do with our drive and our passions. Well, now you're just talking psychology now. Well, it's true. But as we look through the Gospels and as we look through the Bible and the epistles and see what Jesus talked about and the disciples talked about, through the Word of God, we see that soul health is so important. That we take care of our thoughts. That we take care of our emotions. Let me say it this way. How can we take care of others if we're not healthy ourselves? See, there's a lot of flu going around right now. Has anybody had the flu yet? Hopefully you don't now. If you do have it now, leave right now. Please get out. We'll pray for you as you leave. No. But there's flu out there. If I was to get the flu, I could no longer take care of my family. Because number one, they would probably kick me out of the house. Do not get us sick. Stay away from us. But, you know, I'm not going to, like, make them food and feed them if I'm sick, right? I can't take care of somebody else if I'm sick. And it's the same thing with our soul. If our soul is not healthy, how are we going to be able to reach out and help somebody else who's in trouble? We can't do it. It's impossible. And you know, we've seen time and time again of people who are pastors and leaders, that we see them fall into these sins, and they do things, and they lose their reputation, they lose their jobs, and they fall out. Was that because they meant to do that? No, it was because they forgot to take care of their soul. They forgot to take care of that inner part of them that makes them run. Because it's so easy in ministry to give, and not take care of yourself. And you end up dry. And then you end up making some really bad decisions in the process of that. And so we're going to talk about soul health. And we're not talking psychology stuff, in which psychology talks about this stuff, but we're going to take it from a biblical perspective and how it is that we take care of ourselves. And I love in 3 John, you know, John's writing this letter, and this is in the opening of his letter. And, you know, lots of times we just kind of skip over the opening greetings in a lot of the Bible's passages, right? It's easy, you know, we greet you in the name of the Lord, and blessings to you and your family, and we just kind of like, oh, okay, get to the good stuff. But sometimes we miss things if we're not careful, because in 3 John verse 2, it says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers." Now, this would be one of those scriptures that'd be easy, just like, okay, he wants us to prosper, great. But let's look at this a second. Let's go back and dive into this, because what he's talking about here is spirit, soul, and body. And if you really dive into some things, there is so much that we could read in the Bible about who we are in spirit, soul, and body, and how that's broken up. Because the Bible says that, you know, in Genesis, God said, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness." And when he said that, you know, that could go in a lot of different directions. You know, he didn't make us to be gods. I'm not a god. I'm just a regular person, but I am made in the image of God. And if you look at God, we see the Trinity. We see God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. One of the toughest things, my mind cannot comprehend that, how there's three in one and they all work together perfectly. But when he created man, he created us three in one. He created us spirit, soul, and body. And in this scripture, you know, John is writing and he's praying. He said, "I pray that you may prosper in all things." When he talks about that prosper right there, it means to be on the right path. To have a happy journey. To be successful. And so when you look at this kind of phraseology in the Bible, you know, I think of what Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." He also talked about the narrow road and the wide road. He said the road to heaven, the road to God is narrow. The path is narrow. And see, as Christians, as we give our lives to Christ, that puts us on the right path, doesn't it? It puts us on the narrow path that leads to God, and it leads to godliness. And I believe, as he's saying, "You may prosper in all things," that you're on the right road. You're on the right track in everything that you do. I pray that your spirit is on the right track. And so he's talking about our spirit there. And he goes on to say, I lost my scripture. There it is. "I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health." Now, this word health actually means physical health. Physical health. And, you know, a lot of people start kind of like, okay, you know. But listen to me. When Jesus died on the cross, he not only died so that we can be forgiven of our sin, but the Bible also tells me that with the stripes of Jesus that I am healed. Some people say, well, that's a spiritual health. Well, yeah, that's a spiritual healing, because he took care of our sin. But I don't think it just stops there, because we're three in one. I believe that healing goes towards our spirit, that he healed us spiritually, that he heals us in our soul and he heals us in our body. I believe that's a promise from God, from the cross itself, that was part of it. That was part of it. And so, but this word right here specifically means physical health right here. I pray that you may prosper in all things, spirit, and be in health, body, just as your soul prospers. So he's just as much concerned about my soul as he is my spirit and my body. And so we need to take this same concept and it's like, okay, my soul is important. But a lot of people think they have no control over their soul. Well, I can't control my thoughts. I can't control my emotions. It's just what comes out of me, and it's just, that's not what the Bible teaches you. The Bible tells us that we need to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. You know, we have control in our life more so than what we realize a lot of times. And that we have control over these soul issues. And I want to read you a quote by a man named Dallas Willard. Some of you might recognize that name, some might not. But he wrote a lot about soul health and about taking care of your soul, taking care of your mind and your will and your emotions and all those things. And I love what he said, how he described it, because the soul is hard to describe because it's so intangible. It's all the things about us that we can't see or put our finger on, but it makes us who we are. Listen to this. He said, our soul is like an inner stream of water, which gives strength, direction, and harmony to every other element of our life. When that stream, as it is, should be, we are constantly refreshed and exuberated in all we do. How many of y'all want to be refreshed and exuberated in all that you do? Hey, I'm telling you. He said, when that stream as it is, as it should be, we are constantly refreshed and exuberated in all we do because our soul itself is profusely rooted in the vastness of God and his kingdom, including nature. And all else within us is enlivened and directed by that stream. I love how he described that because that's so true, because the Bible tells us in Proverbs 4:23, what does it say? Above all else, guard your heart. Guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. See, this is what he's talking about. It's our heart. It's the thing on the inside of us that makes us who we are. And I believe that it is something to be protected, to be cared for, and it's something precious to us, because that's who you are. That is who you are. See, I've heard a lot of people say, all you got to do is read the Bible and pray and everything is going to be okay. Well, that's a good sentiment. But I don't think that's exactly correct. Because I totally believe that we should be in our word every day, that we should be reading God's word and we should be praying every day. I believe 100% in that. But I don't think that reading and praying is what God wanted for us in our Christian life. I think it goes deeper than that. Because I don't know about you, there's sometimes that I sit down, I have a habit every day of, you know, I get up and I take my shower and I go and I read my Bible and eat breakfast. I feed my spirit and my body at the same time. It's a great combination. But anyway, and so I sit there and I make a habit of reading my Bible every day. Now, am I perfect in that? Absolutely not. But that's my habit that I formed. But there's times that I read my Bible and I don't know, I'm not paying attention. My mind's somewhere else. Anybody else with me? Anybody else do that? The rest of you are lying. So, no, I'm just kidding. But there's times that I read my Bible to check it off the list. There's times that I give God my wish list and check it off the list and I'm done. Did that connect me to God at all? Maybe a little bit, but nothing. There's nothing significant there. See, the things that we do are important, but it's not everything. It's what happens on the inside of us that's important. You know, God talked about that when he was choosing the next king. He said, don't look on the outward appearance, but look at the heart, because that's who we are, is what's on the inside. We are not necessarily what we do, but we are who we are on the inside. Because even Paul said in Romans chapter 7, he said, the things that I do, I hate it. So I don't know why I do some of the things that I do. The things that I do is the things that I absolutely hate, but I hate that I do it. But it's that sin working on the inside of me. And so we realize that not everything that we do is necessarily us. Now that's a whole other topic that we could dive into another time. But listen to me. What is the heart doing? What is the heart saying? That's what we're getting to in this. I got a quote. I want to put it up on the screen for you today. Something that, you know, as I prepare for a sermon, you know, I pray and I ask God and I let him reveal things to me. And then I begin to search the scripture, search the Bible for scriptures that go along with this. And then once I kind of do all that research, another thing I do is I go to Google. Anybody like to Google, right? I Google and see what other people are saying about this. And so I got to make sure I have the word in me first before I go find out what other people are saying so I can compare. It's like people are wrong sometimes, right? Google's not always right. My good friend W is not always right. But anyway, y'all know who that is, don't you? Wikipedia. They don't let you quote Wikipedia in college. But anyway, I forgot what I was saying now. But I go and I do a Google search and find out what other people are saying. And as I did, I came across this quote that just stuck with me. And you know, I try to do a lot of research and a lot of stuff while I'm preparing for things, and I allow God to kind of stick things to me. Have you ever read the Bible? Sometimes something just kind of stick to you. And you're like, ooh, that, you know, you think about it, you meditate on it a little bit, and God keeps bringing it back, the Holy Spirit keeps bringing it back to you, and that's what God did with me on this quote. It's probably been up there a while now, hasn't it? It says this: a soul is healthy to the extent that it maintains a strong connection and receptivity to God. And that's good. Let me read that. That's so good, I want to read it again. A soul is healthy to the extent that it maintains a strong connection and receptivity to God. And see, this is what God stuck on me this week, is that we need, and in all that we do, we need a connection with God. We need a connection with God. This is the important thing, is that no matter what you do in your journey with Christ, you need to be connecting with God. See, one way that I connect with God is, you know, of course, I love to read the Bible and pray and worship and do all these things, but one of the things that really connects me with God is being in nature. I love being in nature. I love hiking. I love all of that stuff. And one of the things that I do when I go hiking is I look at it as an opportunity to connect with the creator of the universe. And man, I love going hiking and seeing mountains and waterfalls and seeing the beautiful creation that God made. That's one beautiful thing about Honduras, is it's beautiful out there. I mean, they have mountains out there that just blow your mind. And you know, you're riding in the back of a pickup truck for 3 hours just bouncing around, and all of a sudden you turn and you look at this overlook, and it's just amazing, just beautiful. I'm thinking, God, you're so amazing. The other day we're driving to Conway, and I love sunsets. Any sunset people out there, I love sunsets. I mean, I believe that the way I see it is God's painting for me that day. And we were driving to Conway the other day, and it was, you know, overcast, and I wasn't really thinking about it, but all of a sudden it got to that point, and we were driving west, going into Conway, and the sun dropped below those clouds. I hadn't seen the sun all day, and there's a gap. Just right on the horizon, that sun dropped below that, and just the most beautiful purples and oranges came across the clouds and just lit up the whole sky. And as the sun began to set and it began to move, those colors changed. And as it hit the clouds in different ways, I was amazed at all the different colors that God painted in the sky that day. And I'm sitting there like driving down the road, and my kids are watching their tabs like, guys, look at this sunset. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah, it's cool, Dad. Yeah, no, look at this. This is, and I mean, I just love those kind of things, because in that moment, I'm just like, God painted that for me today so that I could see that. And so through nature is one way that I connect with God. And so I love going out into nature and seeing what God has created. And what I'm trying to get at is we need that connection with God in whatever way that you find that. And see, the beautiful thing about it is all of us are created differently. We all have a different soul. There's ways that you connect with God that I don't. And I just want you to connect with God in a real way. I believe we need to be reading scripture. I believe we need to be praying and worshiping. But there's something else out there that connects you with God. Maybe you're an artist and you can glorify God through your drawings and your paintings. Maybe it's through singing. Maybe it's whatever. Maybe it's through serving people. Maybe it's through giving. Whatever it is that connects you with God, that is the important thing. That is what brings life to your soul, is when you connect with God in a real way. See, we were driving to Memphis the other day, and there's nothing worse than losing cell phone signal, right? I mean, like, we're used to constantly being connected to some internet, right? So we can check our Facebook, we can send some texts, and we can Instagram. Hey, look at that sunset. That's Instagram right there, baby. You know, and we got, you know, we got to know where we're going, so we got to pull up the GPS. But on the way to Memphis, between Wynn and Marion, there's a dead spot for about 20 minutes. And I hate driving through there because I lose cell phone connection. And now, I almost got in trouble first service. My wife was texting and couldn't text anymore. I was not texting and driving, okay? But during that time, we lost connection with people, and that we could no longer communicate. And she was trying to have a conversation with somebody, and she couldn't do it for 20 minutes. And we were just like, oh, maybe I can find something here, you know? And this is what we're talking about, our connection with God. See, a lot of times we've lost our connection with God, and we don't even realize it. And it's when we have that connection with Him that things can happen in our lives and we feel. I got a list for you. Instead of talking about it all. So what does a healthy soul look like? Let's go there next. What does a healthy soul look like? Because I believe that when we make priority for soul health, that certain things come out of our lives. And that when we neglect our soul, other things come out. And so here's my list that I compiled this week. When we neglect our soul, this is what happens. Self-absorption, shame, apathy, toxic anger. Nobody's experienced that one, right? Physical fatigue, isolation, a stronger temptation to sin, drivenness, feelings of depression, panic, insecurity, callousness, a judgmental attitude, cynicism, lack of desire for God. See, these are symptoms of a neglected soul. These are symptoms of a neglected soul. And what we tend to do in life is that we tend to want to treat the symptoms instead of treat the problem. You know, lots of times we get a fever and we start getting sick, and so we go to the doctor. I don't want to have fever anymore. Doctor, what do I do? And it's easy to treat symptoms. We treat symptoms all day long. But if you never take care of the root problem, then nothing's going to change. You might change this little thing, but something else will pop up. And that's what we do in our soul. Lots of times we try to treat our anger. God, what do I need to do about my anger? You know, and so we look up scriptures and we do all these things to help curb our anger. We get accountability partners and we do all this stuff to curb our anger. And you might take care of that, but all of a sudden depression pops up. Or loneliness pops up, or something else pops up, and you try to take care of that, and we begin to chase fires in our life, and we wonder why we can't get anywhere with God when we've lost our connection with God. Yes. It all comes back to, are you connected with God? Lots of times when people come and talk to me, it's like, I've got this problem in life, and I just need to talk to somebody. One of the first questions I ask is, how's your relationship with God right now? And a lot of times you find out real quick that they've disconnected. They've lost their signal with God. And so they begin to have things pop up. Let's pop up this other list. I like it a lot better. A healthy soul looks like love, joy, compassion, giving and receiving of grace, generosity, peace, the ability to trust. Well, that's a tough one, isn't it? Discernment, humility, creativity, vision, balance, focus, and energy to work. See, when we regain, just leave that up there for a little while. When we regain that connection with God, we see things begin to change in our lives. And you know, if you've been a Christian for any length of time and you've experienced God in a real way and you've had that connection with God, you know when you've lost connection with Him. You realize when those old things that you've dealt with in your past begin to start popping up again. You know it. You see it coming. And we begin to treat symptoms. Okay, I need to get my scriptures back out, talk about anger, talk about... No. How's your relationship with God right now? This is where you're going to find that thing come back. It reminds me of another list that we read in the Bible. And I'm going to get through this. It's found in Galatians chapter 5. And Paul made us a list on here. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, it says, "The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God." Then let's go on. "But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There's no law against these things. For those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed their passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there." I love that passage of scripture. You nailed those things to the cross and you crucified them there. See, I used to look at that as a list of things to do as a Christian. I need to love. I need to have peace. I need to. And it was almost a to-do list. Well, I love people and I have this and I have this, but I'm still working on these over here. Listen, this is not a to-do list. What this is this is the results of your connection with God. If you're connected with God, then the Holy Spirit produces love in your life. It produces joy in your life. Peace, patience, and that's a natural result of your connection with God. When you disconnect from God, what begins to happen? Don't those two lists look a lot alike? Now, I'm not saying if you lose your connection with God that you're dying and you're going to hell and all that stuff. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that you begin to fall back into your old patterns when you lose connection with God. And the only way to fix that is connect with God. Is to connect with God. And so what we're looking at here is the fight between your spirit and your flesh. And see, what happens is as a person, your spirit, soul, and your body, they all work in conjunction with each other. Now, you've seen a train going down the tracks. We always hate getting stopped by trains. But if you'll notice, as a train goes by, there's an engine on the front, and then there's all these cars, and as it passes by, you'll notice there's an engine on the back too, right? So that way, when it gets to its destination, it can turn around, and that engine that was on the back is now in the lead and takes it to where it goes. And see, that's the way that our life works, is that when our spirit man is strong, when we're taking care of our soul and our spirit man is strong, then our soul and our body or our flesh begin to follow the spirit. But see, when we lose connection with God, all of a sudden the flesh begins to take over and it drags our soul and our spirit with it. It all works in conjunction. So you can't have a strong spirit and a strong flesh at the same time, because it doesn't work that way. Whichever one's strongest is the one that's pulling, and that's the way that you're going. You're never sitting still. You're either getting closer to God or you're getting further away from God. See, when we lose that connection with God, then we begin to allow the flesh to take over. And we forget to take care of our soul. We allow those thoughts to come in that we don't normally come in. We begin to watch that TV program that you know that's not good for you. You begin to allow those depressing thoughts to come back. You allow your emotions to overwhelm you. And you begin to be guided by your emotions again. Get connected with God. Get plugged back in and allow the Spirit to grow and be strong, and the rest will follow behind that. Let me read this real fast. Galatians 5:13 says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself." You want to know something interesting? That there's two commands there. Two commands to love. It says to love your neighbor as yourself. But here's the thing, you've got to love yourself before you can love your neighbor. See, Jesus said the two greatest commandments is love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. There's three love commands there. You got to love God, you got to love yourself, then you can love your neighbor. See, if you don't love yourself, you're not going to take care of yourself. You're not going to see yourself as valuable. And so you're not going to love your neighbor. It's interesting how that works. But anyway, let's keep reading. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, for you will be destroyed. You will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what's contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Guys, this is what I want to come back to today. Is how's your connection with God today? A soul is healthy to the extent that it maintains a strong connection and receptivity to God. So what we're going to do in this series, we're going to answer questions like, how do we maintain a healthy soul? How do we get that strong connection with God? Because it's within this that our life rises and falls. It's through what's happening in your soul depends on your connection with God. And so I believe that as we connect with God, and not just a superficial, hey, I'm reading my Bible and praying, but when we're truly connecting in with Him, as the Bible says, we abide or we remain in Him, He says, you can do nothing without being connected with me. And so through this series, we're going to talk about how do we take care of our soul? What does that look like? And so next week, we're going to dive into that question is, how do we maintain a healthy soul? Let's pray. Prayer team, come forward. Father, we love you today, God. We thank you so much. God, that as you died on the cross, your word says that you gave us everything that it takes to live this godly life. God, we know that through the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you've given us everything that we need. It's within our spirit. God, help us to learn to take care of ourselves. God, that we start that self-care process. God, because we can't take care of other people if we're sick ourselves. God, help us not to fight symptoms anymore, but get to the root cause of what's going on in our life. God, bring us back to that connection with you. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need prayer today, as we begin to sing this song, come forward. Maybe you're facing some of this to where you know you're dry spiritually. Your soul is withering. And you just need someone to encourage you and to pray with you. Come forward. Maybe you've never connected with God. Maybe you've never began this relationship with God that we're talking about. Today is your day. Today is the day of salvation. Come and pray with these people and let them encourage you today. Let's sing.